Hey everyone, welcome back. Ready to dive into something new?
Always. What are we tackling today?
Today's deep dive is, well, it's about your money. Fintech, to be exact.
Ooh, fintech, that's a big one.
It is, which is why we're going deep with fintech and digital money. This one is by Dennis Frank, and trust me, this book is, well, it's packed with information we need to know.
I'm intrigued. What kind of information are we talking about?
We're talking about central bank digital currencies, you know, CBDCs. We'll be covering the new ISO 2022 messaging standard.
That's a mouthful.
It is, but an important one. And we can't forget about the U.S. instant payment system, FedNow.
It's interesting, isn't it? The way all of this is changing how we think about money, these aren't just ideas anymore.
Right. This is real-world stuff.
Exactly. This is going to change how you and I interact with money every day. Buying a coffee, making investments, you name it.
Which is why we need to understand it.
Yeah.
Now, Frank's book, it starts off taking us back to basics, way back. Remember bartering?
Oh, you mean like trading a day of work for a couple chickens?
Exactly. Trading, selling, buying.
Yeah.
It all used to rely on finding someone who had what you wanted and wanted what you had.
Yeah, can you imagine trying to buy something online with a handful of carrots? Talk about inefficient.
Right. It makes you appreciate how revolutionary the invention of money really was.
Definitely. Money, it became this universally accepted thing, you know, for exchange, simplified everything. But even money, well, it's had to evolve over time, too.
And it's still evolving. Think about it. How often do you actually use cash these days?
Not often.
Most of what we do is already digital. I mean, bank cards, online transfers, even crypto.
And this is where CBDCs come in, right? The next logical step.
According to Frank, yeah. But instead of banks issuing this digital money, it'll be governments, like your central bank.
Central banks. That gives them a lot of control, doesn't it? More than ever before.
That's what has people talking. Is it a good thing, or is it too much power?
Well, think about it. What if, let's say, government aid could be sent right to you instantly, or very specific economic help targeted exactly where it's needed?
I see what you mean. That could be very helpful for a lot of people.
And that's what CBDCs could allow. But of course, there's always a flip side.
That's true. There are always trade-offs.
Always. And with this one, a big concern is privacy. Because if every transaction could be seen by the central bank,
that's a lot of power and a lot of data to keep secure.
Exactly. It raises some serious questions about how much is too much when it comes to our financial activity.
And it's not just theoretical. Frank goes into some real-world examples, too. Like in the Bahamas, they have something called the sand dollar. And in Nigeria, there's the Inaya.
So countries are already testing the waters with this.
Trying to find that right balance. But that's why it's so important to talk about it now. Because this technology, it's here, and it's developing quickly.
We need to be informed to make our voices heard.
Absolutely. It is our money, after all. And on that note, while we're all trying to wrap our heads around CBDCs, there's something else that's changing kind of quietly in the background, but it's a big deal. ISO 2022.
ISO what now? Sounds like a secret code.
I know, right?
What?
But what it really is all about getting everyone on the same page.
What do you mean?
Think of it like this. Right now, all the financial institutions, they all have their own systems, their own language, so to speak. ISO 2022 is like creating one universal financial language that all the systems can understand.
Interesting. But why is that so important?
Well, for one, it could really streamline international transactions. No more lost in translation issues.
I can see how that would be really helpful in a global world. But how does this relate to crypto? They seem like their own separate thing.
And this is where it gets even more interesting. Some cryptocurrencies, like Ripple and Stellar, are actually aligning themselves with this ISO standard.
So they want to be able to communicate with traditional systems.
Exactly. They're learning the language, which makes you wonder, are they trying to fit in or disrupt things from the inside?
It's like they're finding a way to bridge the gap. Speaking of bridges, I think we need to bring it back home for a minute and talk about what's happening here with FedNow.
Right. While other countries are experimenting with digital currencies and universal financial languages, the U.S. is finally stepping into the ring with instant payments.
About time, if you ask me. I'm curious, though, how is FedNow really going to impact our daily lives? What's the big deal? It's all about instant gratification.
Ooh, instant gratification. You've got my attention. I do love me some instant gratification.
Don't we all? And in this digital age, it's what we've come to expect. But when it comes to our finances, it's a whole other story.
Sadly, yes. Waiting for a check to clear or a transfer to go through, it's like watching paint dry.
Exactly. But with FedNow, that all changes. Imagine, let's say you finish a job. Boom, the payment hits your account right then and there.
Okay, I have to admit, that does sound pretty gratifying, but it also makes me think, if everything's moving that fast, what about security?
That's a fair question, and a really important one.
Because I can't be the only one who's a little wary of scams in this digital world.
Of course not, and Frank actually talks about that. See, FedNow, it's designed with some pretty robust security features to prevent fraud.
Okay, that's reassuring.
But it also means financial institutions are going to have to step up their game even more. We're talking next-level security measures.
It makes sense, especially in a 24/7 financial world. No room for error.
Exactly. And speaking of things we can't ignore, we've got to talk about cryptocurrency.
Oh, yeah. The elephant in the digital room.
Yeah.
It keeps getting bigger, too.
It really does. And Frank, he dives into this, particularly the tension between DeFi and CeFi. Decentralized finance versus centralized finance. It's a bit of a standoff.
A financial showdown. What's the deal with these two?
Okay. So think of CeFi as your traditional finance world. Banks, governments, you know the usual suspects. They're all about control. Regulation.
The old guard.
Exactly. And they like to do things the way they've always been done. But then you have DeFi, the new kid on the block, and they're all about shaking things up.
And how are they doing that?
They're using blockchain technology to create a financial system that's, well, decentralized. It cuts out those traditional middlemen. No banks, no brokers.
So DeFi is like the Wild West of finance.
Kind of, but not exactly. They do have rules, but they're hard-coded into smart contracts. Mm-hmm. It's more about transparency and giving you, the individual, more control.
I like the sound of that. What's the catch?
Well, imagine this. You could set the terms for your loans, your investments, even your insurance. No more jumping through hoops.
Wow, that is a game changer. But are banks really going to just roll over and let this happen?
That's the million-dollar question, isn't it? No one really knows for sure. But Frank, he talks about a possible convergence.
Convergence? What do you mean?
Like, could traditional banks adopt some of these DeFi principles to be more transparent, more customer-focused?
I mean, they'd have to keep up, right?
Right. Or maybe DeFi platforms become so user-friendly that anyone can use them. These are the things we need to be thinking about. Because this isn't just about technology. It's about a whole new way of thinking about finance.
A financial revolution.
Exactly. And speaking of revolutions, Frank doesn't shy away from the downsides, the ethical considerations, especially the environmental impact of all this. Like we talked about before, mining for crypto
uses a ton of energy.
Right. And that's just one example. We have to ask ourselves, how much are we willing to sacrifice for innovation?
It's a tough question. Oh. And what about AI and automation? How ethical are those going to be when it comes to our money?
And it's only going to get more complex as the technology evolves. Imagine, for example, algorithms making lending decisions.
That's a little scary, to be honest.
It is. What if you're denied a loan based on something you have no control over? Like, I don't know, your zip code or your online shopping habits. That raises some serious concerns about fairness.
Absolutely. We're talking about our financial lives here. This is serious stuff.
And that's what makes this so important. We can't just skim the surface. We have to dive deep into these issues.
Which is exactly what we're doing here. But it's a lot to process.
It is. And the point Frank makes is this. We need to be having these conversations, asking the tough questions. Because the future of finance...
They're not a spectator sport.
Right. It's up to all of us to shape it. Now, before we wrap up our exploration of Frank's book, there's one more thing I wanted to mention. It's actually a pretty provocative thought he leaves us with. He starts talking about these BRICS nations.
BRICS nations. Remind me what those are again.
Sure. We're talking Brazil, Russia, India, China, and South Africa. And they're in a really interesting position.
How so?
Well, they're not just embracing this whole digital finance thing. They're using it, like, strategically. To kind of, you know, shift that balance of power.
Okay, that's interesting. But how? How are they actually doing that?
Well, what if, and this is just one example, but what if they created their own global reserve currency?
Whoa, their own currency. Backed by who?
Backed by them. A whole basket of BRICS currencies. It's like their own little club.
I mean, I get it. Strength in numbers, right. But could that really work?
It would definitely shake things up. And that's not all. They're also using their own local currencies more and more for trade between them.
Interesting. So less reliance on the U.S. dollar.
Exactly. They're strategically decreasing their dependence on it.
It's like they're creating their own financial system, completely separate from, well, everyone else.
And digital finance, it's the key. Frank even suggests that these BRICS nations, they might even launch their own CBDCs.
Wow, their own digital currencies. That's a bold move. What happens to the U.S. dollar if this all actually happens?
That's the billion-dollar question, right? No one really knows for sure, but Frank lays out the different scenarios, and honestly, it's a little unnerving because it's not just about CBDCs or instant payments on their own, it's about how they all work together.
And how that impacts, well, everything.
It's a whole new financial world order in the making.
It's like a high-stakes game of chess, only it's with our money.
And the whole global economy hanging in the balance. Frank's book, it's not just a guide to fintech, it's like a wake-up call to start thinking differently about money, about power.
It's a call to action too, isn't it? We need to be informed, to be part of this conversation about the future of finance.
100%. Because we all deserve a financial system that's fair and sustainable for everyone, not just a select few.
That's a great point to end on. We've covered a lot of ground in this deep dive. From bartering to CBDCs, the future of finance is, well, it's a wild ride. And we've got a lot to think about thanks to Dennis Frank and his book, Fintech and Digital Money. If you're ready to explore these topics even further, and we hope you are, head over to our website. We've got links, resources, the works. And be sure to let us know what you think. What resonated with you? What questions do you have? Find us on social media and keep the conversation going. Until next time, stay curious, everyone.